Yeah. Welcome to the program. The rare midweek Decca Yeah. That was for Perv. Happy hump day, Perv. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. By now, you know that. All right, so we have an enormous day. Today is a really big day. Let me lay it out for you. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You want to jump in right now. It is a rare three-interview day. We had stopped doing that several months back, but on the rare occasion where there's a really good interview or a good opportunity, I will put that back in. So three interviews, meaning you should get in here right now. Phone number 1-800-636-8686. And you know what? Be proactive. Don't wait for me. If you know what you want to talk about or you want to enter into the conversation, do it now. If you want to introduce something different to the conversation, do it right now. If you're more comfortable hitting me up on Twitter, that's fine too, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at HappyTake.com. So in terms of these three interviews, coming up at 9:40, once again, Pacific Times, 9:40, Lane Johnson, Philadelphia Eagles offensive lineman. I like that. I like that a lot. Second hour is wide open. Third hour is jammed up already. Coming up in hour number three, something else I like a lot. Commanders head coach Ron Rivera. Love that. And in the third hour, Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen. Love that. Huge bleeping day. Three big NFL interviews today. Not only that, but the Jim Rome podcast pushing out later on this afternoon. The icon, Joe Montana. So I've got a lot to get done. Lots to get done. You have your phone number. Use it. So where to start? What should we do on this Wednesday? I think that I will do something this morning that I'm not sure that I've ever done. And when I say I've never done, I mean like in the three-decade history of this program, I don't think I've ever done this, but I have to. U.S. soccer fan, how y'all living? Man, it better be amazing. It better be amazing, and it better be pretty much everybody listening right now. And yes, I know. I am well aware. I'm well aware of what you think about me flipping on soccer. I am well aware of what you think about soccer itself. A lot of haters. Soccer haters. World Cup haters. Greg Berhalter haters. And you know what? Frankly, it's a bad day for you haters. The U.S. And you couldn't wait. I know so many of you could not wait to jump this guy and jump me. And jump the U.S. team. Except U.S. soccer haters, it is a bad day. One of your worst days because there is not a whole lot you can hate on right now. Especially after they got the job done. Now, haters gonna hate and you'll find something. And I'll get to that in a minute. In fact, I'll get to that right now. I know you will still try to hate. But the rest of us are going to do what you always should do. And that's look to the damn scoreboard. Point to the damn scoreboard. 1-0. Thanks for coming. What up, round of 16? What up, knockout stage? What up, one and done? Where anything can happen. What up, legitimate U.S. run at the World Cup? Yeah, I said it. U.S. soccer fan waited 8 long years for this. Because remember, the U.S. did not even qualify for the last World Cup. So it's no exaggeration when I say that the fans have been waiting 8 years for this goal.
Austin McKinney, Des making a big run. It's meant for him. Des is snuck in behind. Des into the middle. Pulisic scores! Might have paid the price, but the U.S. takes the lead.
Fox with the call. Christian Pulisic getting the goal, and he paid a price too. You could even call it the ultimate price, because this dude took a knee straight to the groin to score that goal. He basically got blasted in the package to put the U.S. up 1-0. Or as the big head himself would so eloquently put it, he took a kick in the stick for America.
Kick in the stick.
I mean, my dude couldn't even celebrate the biggest goal for the U.S. in over a decade. He essentially missed out on the high of a lifetime. I mean, the high that he had been chasing his entire lifetime, and traded that instead for the agony of a low blow. Credit to Christian. He tried to stay in the game, but he ended up watching the second half from the hospital. Good news, though. This dude is all right. The official diagnosis is a kick to the stick. No, just kidding. The official diagnosis is a pelvic contusion. And that pelvic contusion should not keep him out of Saturday's game against the Netherlands. And I know this because he shot out a social media post with a fist pump pic from his hospital bed and the words, quote, "So effing proud of my guys. I'll be ready Saturday. Don't worry." End of quote. So I guess what I'm saying is this. Say what you want about this team. Say what you want about this sport. Say what you want about this manager. But how many athletes have you ever seen sacrifice their stick for country? I think everybody should be asking themselves right now, would you sacrifice your stick for America? He did. As always, ask not what America can do for you. Ask if you would take a blow and a contusion to the pelvis for America. That's how Christian gave the U.S. the big breakthrough goal that team needed. And then the second half. Man, how about that second half? How tense was that second half? How tight was that second half? How sweaty was that second half? I mean, that was cheek-clenching time. There was some serious butthole puckering coast-to-coast. Puckering. You know, the way it came down was like this. The first half was an amazing half of U.S. soccer. It was borderline dominant. It was borderline erotic.
Borderline erotic.
In fact, I'm going to say there was nothing borderline about either for the U.S. It was dominant and it was erotic.
Borderline erotic.
You know, for us soccer lovers. The second half, though, was something totally different. The second half was, man, holding on for dear life. The second half was also about brass sets. Not the one that got destroyed and had to leave that game and ended up watching that second half from the hospital. I'm talking about the sets that were still out there on the field. The sets that were able to grind out a monumental win. My dude, Greg Berhalter, said it best after the game when he said this.
Proud. I think that, you know, the first half we showed what we can do soccer-wise. Played a really good first half. Second half, we showed what we can do determination-wise. The guys grinded. They gave every single ounce of energy. And we're undefeated going into the next round.
He nailed it. Exactly. That's exactly it. That's exactly why you should not be wasting all your time and energy crying about how it looked. Crying about how it's still not good enough. The U.S. team did what they had to do. They got the bleeping job done. They got to the knockout round. Period. Scoreboard. Look up at it. I don't give a damn how it looks. The Hood himself probably said, we're on to the Netherlands.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to the Netherlands.
We're on to Cincinnati.
But still, haters gonna hate. Keyboard bags gonna bag. Was it perfect yesterday? Obviously not. No one's saying it was. Even Berhalter joked that he had less hair at the end of the game than at the start of the game.
It's stressful. I think I have less hair on my head now.
It is stressful. It was stressful. But it was also good enough to get a massive result in a career-defining pressure cooker situation. Remember, folks, style points do not count at the World Cup. Only results matter. Getting out of the group is what mattered. Getting to the knockout round is what mattered. Getting to the Sweet 16 is what mattered. That's a result that is a far, far from given for the U.S. This is only the fourth time since World War II that the U.S. team has made it to the last 16. And Greg Berhalter got it done with the youngest starting lineup and the second youngest overall team in the entire tournament. You know, of course, the youngest squad, Trivia question, who is the youngest squad? Of course, it's Ghana, because it's always Ghana.
We had a chance. The second year, we lost to
They're
Ghana.
The youngest.
For the second year.
They're
why
so
do we
young.
Always give up the goal in the last minute?
Why are they so young?
This is what it means to us.
We're young, but they're younger. Why are they younger? Why can't we be the youngest? Why is it always Ghana? Anyway.
Ghana.
Still, an extremely young team that just went through the group stage without losing a game. So maybe you just chill out on the calls for the guillotine. Maybe you quit sharpening the axe for a minute and try to enjoy the moment. Maybe you don't focus on the strange second half substitutions or the fact that we still have not seen very much or any at all of an exciting young player like Gio Reyna. Maybe consider the fact that this team has played three outstanding opening halves. I mean, does Greg Berhalter get any credit for any of that at all? Maybe you don't try to fire anybody while they're still freaking playing, while they're freaking advancing. What I'm saying is, maybe you give this guy some freaking credit, for real.
For real.
He and they got the job done, and now we are on to the Netherlands.
We're on to Cincinnati.
This Saturday, not going to be easy. Not going to be easy, but not impossible. Not going to be easy, but doable. The U.S. team is going to be a heavy underdog, but the U.S. team is not going to be afraid. They're not going to be scared. They haven't been yet, and they're not going to start on Saturday. And you all know that I will be up early for that game. Just like Christian said after he got rocked in the chops for America, quote, "So effing proud of my guys, I'll be ready Saturday, don't worry," end of quote. And yes, it's a real thing. Yes, that really did just happen. Yes, the U.S. men's national team really did get to the knockout round, and I really did just open up this show with a positive take on soccer. And Greg Berhalter really does deserve more credit than he is getting.
Credit.
And he's going to get it from me. I've got this guy's back. We were friends years before he got that gig. And I know what this guy's all about. And to the haters who were calling for this dude's head yesterday during this show before the first half was even over. And yes, I was getting a lot of that. Yo, Rome, how about your boy? Yo, Rome, how is Reyna not playing? Yo, Rome, your boy is not going to make it out of this game. Yes, he did. He did. They did. And by the way, they got a pretty damn good look at it if you ask me on Saturday. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But it is not impossible. They're going to have a good look at it. They're still alive, no matter how much some of you want to hate. Because, like I said, haters gonna hate. Scoreboard applies to everything, and keyboard bags gonna bag. United States 1, Iran nothing. It's on to the Netherlands.
We're on to Cincinnati.
That was fun, man. That was stressful. How about the last 9.5 minutes? How stressful was that? I mean, even I'm watching that. Chalk and I were watching it. I'm like thinking to myself, damn, why am I so uptight? How did I get so emotionally invested in this? How am I caught up in this? But I got to admit, I was. And it wasn't even that bet that I made on the U.S. squad. And I did. Thanks for getting me paid, boys. 1-800-636-8686. It really was the junk shot heard around the world. Man, my man Chris Paul must have been out of his mind. Draymond must have been all about that. I want your thoughts. Not only are we talking about it, I opened the show with it. And get ready to pick up a name because I'm about to drop one. I texted Greg Berhalter early this morning. He hit me right back. He's fired up. But he made it clear, job not done. Job not done. He made that very clear. It's a brief exchange. But he said, we're not done. The job is not finished. So I was really encouraged by that. 1-800-636-8686. 8686. Looking for your reaction. Hey, Romy, just tell Pulisic to, quote, rub some shaft sugar on it. That's basically the adult equivalent of rub some dirt on it when we were kids.
Shaft sugar. Keep me all run. Shaft sugar. Get him on my team. Shaft sugar. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they use shaft sugar for. I think you're confusing that with some other form of sugar. Ken in SA. Damn, Jim. Team USA only scored once in over 90 minutes? Psst, please.
Psst, please.
Sincerely, Alvy. Hashtag goal!
Scores!
At Orlasco tweets, Jimmy, my man. America's pride swelled up like Christian pelvic Pulisic's junk yesterday. Fortunately for him, at Alvin DeLauro is willing to sub in for his next wrestling with socks on match. Come on!
Come
Signed
on!
James in Portland, probably. There's only one James in Portland. Nobody can do that guy like that guy can do that guy. He's one of one. Hey, Jim, that goal created the gong clash heard around the world. War Pulisic's brass set. Nick in Erie. Like I said, he took the ultimate kick in the stick for country.
Kick in the stick.
Pretty amazing. Tough one, raise toll free. 1-800-636-8686. You know, and for all the haters, man, they were lying in wait. Those last few minutes were so stressful. Imagine if that had gone the other way. What if they don't finish? What if they don't finish? The heat, the backlash, the criticism. Yeah, what if it didn't happen? They did finish. And again, I don't give a damn how it looks. They advance. Thought it was awesome. I'm not going to lie. Very happy for my dude, Greg Berhalter. And I'm not even going to try and be, like, I'll be objective. If he made some really bad decisions and they played really poorly and they lost, I would say it. I would say it. I'm not looking to cover anybody. But I'm also not going to sit here and say I'm not happy for the guy, because I know there's a lot of people that aren't hoping for the best for him. They're still in it. It's a good accomplishment. I've got thoughts also on something that really concerned me yesterday. You want to talk about a roller coaster ride? My man Jera, the first ballot Hall of Fame owner, CEO, GM, QB1. I mean, the guy essentially is team content. Had a moment yesterday that scared the hell out of me. I want to get to that. At Woodland Laconic, I know we were all excited, but Unwar, the total bag in my office, who has a Team USA scarf draped over his shoulders and has been asking everybody all morning if they watched the football match yesterday. Yeah, I don't know, Wood. Like, you show up every single day, Wooden and Laconic. So why don't you let that bag have his moment? I guarantee that guy's probably hitting others with Unwar the bag, who shows up to the office every freaking day, Wooden and Laconic. So let that guy have his moment, because, by the way, and when I say that, it's not even that guy, it's us. We have to deal with your bagginess every single day, and it's more than a moment. So let that guy have his. But so again, big day. Lane Johnson, Ron Rivera, Adam Thielen, in ATP, Jim Rohn Podcast, episode 245 with Joe Montana, all of that on this Wednesday. Small business owners, do you want to know the secret to navigating the employee retention credit? Trust in Omega Accounting Solutions to help you recover any payroll tax overpayments that you may have made during the pandemic. You may even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per an employee if you continue to pay employee wages during COVID. All it takes is a quick and easy, free 10-minute ERC consultation and find out if you qualify or not. It really is that easy. In fact, the date from onboarding to filing is only 30 days. CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. They're that good, they're that efficient, and with over 15 years of experience in financial management, business leadership, and corporate strategy combined, you can count on Omega every step of the way to take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit. I always say it, but it's true. It's a tax credit. It's not a loan. Or if you have any specific ERC questions, call Omega Accounting Solutions, 800-704-2000. Why would you not make that call? It's easy. 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or the funds run out.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I'll tell you what would be pretty cool. A telephone call on the topic. Or a telephone call on any topic. And I mean, not a call, but a call that works. So we're talking World Cup. I've got thoughts on Jarrah and how Jarrah nearly choked out on air. Scared me for a moment. The Broncos are flexed out of prime time. Now, that's a given. That's not only understandable, that should have happened a long time ago. However, they're flexed out of prime time against the Chiefs. The Chiefs never get flexed out of anything. That's how bad the Broncos are. The Chiefs do not get flexed out of anything unless they play the Broncos. So I'll get to that too. Hey, Rome. Berhalter's treatment of Gio Reyna is shameful, regardless of the game's outcome. Regards, Pervin Liar's treatment of kickers. Scott and Crabchester.
I'm the head ball coach. I'll kick you whenever I want.
War, Kirstie Alley, global warming. Hey, Scott, let that go, dude. You were the dude who emailed me yesterday calling for Berhalter's head and saying that he should be fired. Oh, and then they won. And you still won't let it go. Dude, I don't really know what's going on with Reyna. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm not even going to venture a guess. I know that Reyna has said, hey, I'm good. I'm physically 100%. I'm healthy. I'm good to go. I don't know what's going on. Something must be going on. I don't know. Coach's decision, something else. I don't know what it is. It's something of a mystery. Now, if you want to say that they missed what he brings to it and they were beaten and he couldn't make a difference, then I'll listen to that argument. Except they won, Scotty. They moved on. But I know you, dude. I mean, I don't know you, dude. In fact, I have no idea who you are. Except I know you, dude. And I know you're just waiting. And you're just going to keep hammering that same point until they do get beat. And then you'll be like, see, see, see? See what? They're on to the round of 16. That was not a lock. That was not a given. As you know, they didn't qualify last time for the World Cup. Their work is not done. I'm not saying they won the cup. I'm saying it's a damn good thing and give them some credit. Give the coach some credit.
For real.
For real. Because you were the one calling for his head before they won. Hey, Romy, when Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out? This is the game, Rome! Woo!
When Jiminy Cricket was down, did you count him out? This is the comeback, Doug. 2-3. Did you see DeMarco Murray? This is the game, Doug. Woo!
Regards, Dodger Jano, after chain-smoking heaters during the USA game. Geoff and Lincoln. Geoff, given how well you know me and the fam, you know that Dodger Jano does not smoke. But she was nervous, though. She was nervous. Purple turtleneck tan man. Did you really just open the show with a soccer take? I can count on one hand how many people in this country actually give a crap about the stupid-ass World Cup. Maybe tomorrow you can open with a ping pong or cornhole rant, pimp. Bet more people are interested in that. Mario in SF.
Hit the crap.
Wore Sacramento Kings colored turtlenecks.
Get.
The thing about that, Mario, other than James Kelly, I don't really know who found any humor in that at all. And the thing about that, Mario, 20 million people, like it or not, 20 million people watched the England game last Friday, which is more viewers than Sunday Night Football averages, a.k.a. the most watched TV show in America. We don't have ratings for yesterday yet, but it's going to be another enormous number, I would imagine. So what you're saying is not true. You can say you hate it. You can say that I've got no business talking about it, much less leading the show with it, but you cannot say that nobody gives a damn because the numbers suggest otherwise. Not only that, the numbers would suggest people really care a lot. 20 mil is a big number. Big number. But it's all right, though. Like, I'm not here to bang you over the head about the beautiful game. Not when I cracked on the beautiful game for so long. However, unlike you, I am open-minded. I grow. I evolve. I morph. I change. And there's some things that I will never change on. But I keep an open mind. And like I said, I had even more interest because I know Greg Berhalter a little bit. I knew him before he got that gig. We were friends. I spent some time with him. Our kids played ball together. So I was really interested to see how that thing would shake down once he got that gig. And he's doing a good job. You may not agree with everything. You may not agree with the way he's handling his roster. They're still alive. We're on to the Netherlands.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Sean Wichita, quote, groin injury. Psst, please.
Please.
I get those worked out on the sideline. Darnay Holmes. Hey, man. 818 for life. That's how we do it in Calabasas, yo. Calabasas for life.
818 for life.
818 for life. That's how we do it. That's how we do it in the Valley. I don't need any damn blue tent. Let's do it right here. Let's do it right now. Hell, that's how we do it in the 949. I was at the golf club the other day, working out, and I hadn't been there for a while. I changed up, thought I'd go back in, get a little cardio done. I saw some dude getting some work done right there, front and center. So apparently that's how we do it in the 949, too. However, the OGs do it that way in the 818. I got you, Darnay. Calabasas for life, yo. All right, when we come back, we start the interview portion of the program. Eagles offensive lineman Lane Johnson joins me. That's coming up in 7 minutes. Ron Rivera in hour number three. Adam Thielen in hour number three. Joe Montana later on today. Seriously, the Broncos. Do you know how bad you have to be to get flexed out of prime time when Patrick Mahomes is in the same game? You think that the NFL and the networks don't want the best player in the league under the lights? Not if Cringer Russ and the Broncos are on the other side. Oh, that's coming up. Oh, hey, an ATP too. But first, a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
On top of everything else, on a Wednesday, we do have the ATP, the Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question there. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, so we are efforting Lane Johnson. He is wrapping up a meeting. As soon as I can get to him, I will get to him. Hit me, 1-800-636-8686. Ron Rivera is going to join me in hour number three. Commanders are something else. I would argue they're as hot as anybody in the NFL right now. They started 1-4. They won 6 of their last 7. You've got all 4 teams in the NFC East right now that are in the postseason hunt. You know, the same NFC East that everybody dogged and clowned and joked about a couple of years earlier, myself included. Adam Thielen had himself a Thanksgiving Day, didn't he? How about that moment at the end of that game between he and the Hood? Remember, they've got kind of some past history going back to a game in 2018. Vikings playing big and bouncing back from that beatdown that they suffered against the Cowboys. So I've got all of those interviews and a chance to get caught up, fingers crossed, with Joe Montana in the afternoon on the Jim Rome podcast. That'll push out a little bit later than it normally does. That's episode 245. We have been extremely consistent with that long-form premium content. And because it's Wednesday, you know what else that means? The big head, James Kelly, and I go deep into the cave tonight to get ready for the matchups this weekend. Coming off a good weekend, it feels good. So the big head, James Kelly, and I will be prepping hard for Jim Rome's big head bets. That's a Wednesday thing. Man, I'll tell you what, until we started doing that podcast, I never felt like this. And I've never been one of those, hey, how you doing, Rome? It's Monday. Hey, how you doing, Rome? It's Friday. I'm not that guy, but I'm not going to lie to you. Because of the prep that goes into that pod, it feels like every damn day is Wednesday. Wednesday comes up fast. Am I right, head? And I'm going to get to my thoughts on the Broncos, too. This guy's not even going to wait. Eric in the South Side. Hi, Jim. As a Bronco homer, I'm always grateful to get the games in Chicago when I can get them. However, I don't need to see Captain Cringe's act or a Nate Ritt coach team in prime time anymore. There is a God, and thanks to him, this game is flexed out. I've got an entire take on that, which I'll get to, but again, do you know how unbelievable it is that they would flex out the Chiefs? All right, more on that in a minute. We're joined right now by an offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles. He is a Super Bowl champion. He is a 3-time Pro Bowler. He was drafted number 4 out of Oklahoma back in 2013. Philadelphia 10-1. They're hosting the Titans on Sunday. Got a few moments with Lane Johnson. Lane, good to have you on. How are you?
Doing good, man. What's going on?
Good, good. Great to have you. So really quickly, I know you're looking ahead to this weekend. However, if you were to look back to that game Sunday night against Green Bay, you guys absolutely gashed them on the ground. You rushed for 363 yards. In terms of imposing your will on the opposition, I mean, have you ever been a part of as dominant a performance as that one was? And then how'd that feel?
I've been in some games where we had some dominant stretches. The thing about this game is that it was just consistent throughout the game. It didn't really die down and stay the course throughout the game. So, yeah, it was, a few simple plays, a lot of pulling schemes that worked well. And, I just think that in combination with Jalen running when he needed to, man, just made it for an awesome night.
Hey, Lane, I'm just going to jump right in. Like, last season was a really challenging year for you physically and mentally, yeah, coming off that ankle surgery. I'm curious, how are you feeling physically right now, and what kind of headspace are you in compared to last year?
Yeah, I feel really good. That was a lot on my mind last year. I had 2 surgeries on my ankle. So one of them I played on in 2020, and then after the season I had another one to repair it. So, yeah, that was going through my mind a lot last year. I was playing, wasn't physically feeling like I normally feel. And playing to the standard, I felt like I could play in some aspects. But this year, man, I feel good playing at a high level. And, my body's not giving me trouble like it was last year.
Lane Johnson joining us. Did it get to a point where you had thoughts of retirement? And if so, how close did you come? I mean, did it get that dark?
Yeah, I mean, when I left, I mean, a lot of that plagued me. I mean, along with anxiety was my ankle wasn't cooperating. And, I was pretty much trying to play on one foot. And that's hard to do, in the NFL. So, yeah, I just felt like if this thing was going to compromise my play to where I couldn't, be you know, who I've been on film the past 9-10 years. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was ready to check out. But, you know, I had a good offseason, rehabbed, and really attacked it. And it hadn't been on my mind really like it was last year, which I feel like, you know, was plaguing me.
Talking to Lane Johnson. Lane, you've been so good about this. You are really open about talking about what you've dealt with and what you mentioned. We're not talking about just a surgery or a second surgery or you not being able to push off or you being able to do what you used to do. We're talking about anxiety and depression, some serious things that go way, way, way back. Like, what kind of thoughts were you having during this process? What were you dealing with that now you can talk about, but people for so long just did not want to get into?
Yeah, well, a lot of it was medication-based. So when you get on some medications, it takes a while for to withdraw or to taper off. And so when I was tapering off, I wasn't doing it effectively. And so it was like an extended-release capsule that wasn't meant to be broken. And so I went from a pretty much a mediocre dose to nothing. And so when you have that, you can have symptoms of almost like the flu. You can have hand tremors that don't really go away, vomiting. But it really affects your serotonin levels. And so when that's affected, you know, pretty much feels like you have no control of your mind and body. That's basically what it felt like. And so I was experiencing that all throughout training camp, all throughout, you know, the first part of the year. Yeah, and once those symptoms got managed, I wasn't feeling what I was feeling. But, yeah, whenever your serotonin levels are affected like that, yeah, I mean, it's dangerous. Puts you in a dark place.
I really appreciate you, and I appreciate that response, because I would imagine going through something like that, you know, even if you sit at a desk for 8 hours, that would be a really challenging thing to do, much less try to perform at the level and do what you were doing. Just one more thought. I've had so many conversations, Lane, with athletes and public figures of late, and two of the biggest takeaways on this topic, I mean, two of the biggest takeaways I have is, number one, it's okay not to be okay. And number two, if you're not okay, you need to talk to somebody about that. And doing so does not make you weak. It actually takes courage to do so. And not doing so can be really detrimental. I mean, I know there's a lot in that statement, but would you agree? Are those accurate statements?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is communication. The worst thing to do is to keep it all bottled in. I mean, I've heard of several NFL players saying, you know, I'm only as good as what the coach tells me. You know, that there's been guys, you know, kill themselves over stuff like this. Yeah, man, it's a serious issue. And one thing I learned is that when I went to the combine, I think I was alerted that, you know, 50 to 60% of NFL players have an anxiety disorder. So it's very common. You know, the thing to do back in the day was to not talk about it, be a man's man. And, you know, I feel like that hurt the cause more than anything. I think speaking up and being vulnerable is a good thing. I think I learned a lot just from guys, you know, like Kevin Love, you know, Michael Phelps, you know, being the most decorated Olympian of all time, you know, talking about suicidal thoughts and just living in that headspace. And, you know, it's not something that you can accomplish your way out of. But, you know, really those guys like that, Tyson Fury, his story, it just goes to show, man, that people are humans and are affected in different ways. And there's, you know, there's always help around the corner.
Yeah, I guarantee other athletes, people listening right now, are learning from you just as you learn from them. A 3-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champ, somebody drafted number 4 overall. Yeah, again, I appreciate your thoughts on all that stuff so much. I've got to ask you about the Bro Barn Home Gym workouts. I'm fascinated by that. Who shows up for those workouts, and what are they like?
Yeah, they're pretty intense. So my trainer, he's an ex-Marine, but he was with Exos for a while. He's worked with a lot of guys in the industry. So picked him up, I think, 2019. And so, yeah, man, we get after it. I have a lot of linemen that work out with me, Runyon, Herbie, some guys from different teams, Cesar Ruiz. So, yeah, man, we all attack it differently. So a lot of it in the off season, after the season's recovery, and then, you know, we'll have a speed phase, a power phase, and really just compete with our numbers from last year. But, yeah, man, it's pretty intense. But I think when you put in the work there, it makes your body more prepared for the season. So, yeah, man, it's pretty funny out there. Baldinger's out there a lot. I mean, he's pretty heavy on the deadlifts. That's what he likes. So if you ever come, he might be in there too.
Baldy, what's he like out there, man? Is he still getting after it? I have to believe he's getting after it and throwing him around, right?
Yeah, he loves it. I mean, he's most times sitting at a desk watching tape. So when he gets a chance to leave that and come lift, he's all about it. So he's a funny dude.
He is a funny dude. Lane, really quickly, like listening to you, watching you, I can tell how much respect that you have for the game, for the guys that you play with, for the guys you go up against, for the opportunities the game has provided you. Like overall, what does football represent to you? What's it done for you personally?
It's teach you how to fight through adversity, and how to work with people from all different, you know, backgrounds, and cultures. So I think, you know, it's enabled me to work efficiently with people. I think it's opened me up to communication. A lot of football, man, is like one thing you can't do is hide. There is no – you can't really hide who you are.
It's on film, right? Everything's on film.
Yeah, it's all on film out there. So that's one thing I respect about the games, that it's all put out there on film. There is no hiding like you can, I think, in other areas of work. And, yeah, man, it's such a team game. You know, you realize that as you get older. It's just everybody counts in the building. And that's what I love about it, and I love the people that I work with.
Lane Johnson joins me for another moment or so. I know every single year is different. I know you'll tell me, hey, look, I'm just here to chop. You got to chop, got to chop, got to chop. But is there anything at all about this team and the way things are setting up that feels like 2017 to you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it goes down to who we have. I mean, I feel like talented, we're very talented, but I feel like we have a good blend of veteran leadership, kind of like what we did in 17. So we have good leaders, and we have a lot of blended, you know, young talent, you know, to add to that. So right now, man, you know, everything's in front of us. You know, we've had a good 10, 11 games, and now's, you know, crunch time. And hopefully, you know, we can clinch the playoff this week and then get home field advantage. And then if guys are banged up, you know, get them back for the playoff run. So that's what we're thinking. But, you know, this week we had Tennessee, so it's probably the most physical, you know, team we'll see all year. As far as your defensive line is concerned.
Boy, they are, right? They are tough, and they are physical. Yeah. Philadelphia, 10-1, best record in the NFL. He is a Super Bowl champ. He is a three-time Pro Bowler. Lane Johnson, my guest. Lane, appreciate you so much. Great to have you back on. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Have a great day, Lane. Thank you very much. There's hour number one. Second hour is wide open. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686.